Along with whiteness studies and Black Lives Matter, the concept of decolonization is currently rampant in Western institutions of higher education. In the most recent example, academics at England's University of Cambridge are considering how to implement a call from a small group of black and leftist undergraduates to decolonize its English literature syllabus by taking in more black and ethnic minority writers and bringing post-colonial thought, a branch of critical theory, to its existing curriculum. Seen in the context of similar agitation at Yale last year, ongoing reforms in South Africa, the removal of portraits of white founders from King's College London, and attacks on statues of prominent white historical figures in the U.S., the decolonization effort is clearly part of an escalating craze for removing white presence and reducing white space throughout the West. This reduction of white space is occurring in demographic, cultural, and even historical areas, the latter involving a ludicrous blackwashing of periods of European history, which were overwhelmingly monocultural, with gross exaggerations of non-white presence in places like Roman Britain. Today, white nations are being demonstrably colonized by non-whites. White culture is increasingly marginalized or dismissed as non-existent, while white history is being rewritten to support and advance the agenda of contemporary multiculturalism. Whites are thus abused as colonizers while simultaneously being subjected to an unprecedented and multifaceted colonization. This jarring incongruence between rhetoric and reality requires an interrogation of what is meant by terms such as colonize, empire, and even genocide, particularly in regard to the political uses they have come to acquire, and also an interrogation of what we understand by historical processes of colonization. It is argued here that the growing clamor for decolonization, like whiteness studies, exists only to encourage and facilitate an aggressive anti-white discourse. In his introduction to Empire, Colony, Genocide, Conquest, Occupation, and Subaltern Resistance in World History, A. Dirk Moses contends that conquest and occupation are human universals, rather than the preserve of uniquely evil European peoples and their culture. He writes that empire, colony, and genocide are simply keywords particularly laden with controversial connotations, but that few are the societies that were not once part of empires, whether its core or periphery. Few are the societies that were not the product of a colonization process, whether haphazard or planned. Despite this universal presence of conquest, displacement, and domination in human history, Moses notes that the usage of the terminology of these themes has come to focus inordinately on the recent European past. When utilizing these keywords, then, modern ethnic activists strategically take the European expansionism of the 19th century as their starting point, excluding many prior centuries during which non-white participation in conquest, slavery, expansion, and imperialism was at least equally in evidence. Colonialism has thus ceased to be regarded in modern social and academic discourse as a human universal, easily explained by evolutionary impulses, and has instead come to be regarded as a dynamic in which uniquely exploitative whites disturb the putatively utopian existence of non-whites, a myth bolstered and promoted by leftist Bayesian anthropology. Because of this lopsided nature of contemporary discourse on colonialism and empire, Moses notes that nothing less than the moral legitimacy of Western civilization is at stake. One of the most interesting and frustrating aspects of this questioning of Western moral legitimacy is that whites have allowed themselves to be subject to it. Europeans may have had unprecedented success in the 19th and 20th centuries in expanding their spheres of material interest and cultural influence, but they also engaged in an unprecedented level of self-critique because of it. Moses suggests that white participation or cooperation in the questioning of the moral legitimacy of Western civilization is in part a culmination of a long tradition of European legal and political critique of colonization and empire. European theologians, philosophers, and lawyers have been debating the morality of occupation since the Spanish conquest of the Americas in the 16th century. This long tradition of European legal and political critique could be read as evidence in support of Kevin MacDonald's theory of pathological altruism in European society, or the idea that Europeans have uniquely constructed their societies to place extreme emphasis on moral conformity and the rights of the individual. Whites, and the legitimacy of their civilization, are thus especially vulnerable in modern discussions of colonization, slavery, and empire. Not because these actions in these areas were particularly nefarious, but because they are the only successful ethnic group in these spheres willing to subject itself to such a critique. not only by others within the ethnic group, but also by ethnic outsiders claiming moral superiority, perhaps best encapsulated in Kipling's poem, The White Man's Burden. The European experience of expansion and empire has always been double-sided, combining a love of exploration and glory with uneasy introspection, prompted, as Kipling put it, by the judgment of your peers. Of course, one of the main reasons for our contemporary aversion to colonialism is that the collapse of empire has been catastrophic for us as a people, not in terms of lost resources, but because we immediately became subject to reverse colonization. Although accelerated by hostile alien influences, it remains indisputable that Europeans conducted their empires, particularly in their later bureaucratic stages, in accordance with the principle that the colonized acquired a status nominally indistinct from each other as well as the conquering national ethnic group. In Britain, this led to an initial mass influx of non-whites from the colonies between the passage of the British Nationality Act of 1948 and the Commonwealth Immigration Act of 1962. An identical scenario played out in France between 1945 and 1974, and in the Netherlands, which took in almost 1 million people between 1945 and 1990. The avoidance of moralism is perhaps even more necessary for a people such as ourselves, for whom moral concerns are primary, and it is a kind of racial Achilles heel. Simply put, we are unlikely to find success in wielding a weapon to which we are uniquely vulnerable. Our struggle against invaders, both old and new, should be based on the obvious truth that it is quite simply in our interests to defend the homogeneous nature of our territory as a means of promoting a safe and successful future for our children. This is where our moral code should begin and end. Finally, it is worth remarking upon the rhetorical bankruptcy and transparent agenda of slogans calling for the decolonization of academia, English literature, and our public spaces. Decolonization, by almost any definition, implies that a thing existed some state prior to colonization. Looked at bluntly, a complete decolonization of African society would entail a total return to the pre-imperial state of the African tribes. There is almost certainly not a single African alive today, either in Africa or living among other peoples, who would willingly engage in such a total decolonization. Applied within white societies, or to academic subjects of white origin such as English literature, decolonization is technically impossible, at least from the black perspective, because both the prior and existing state of the thing is European, technologically and culturally. What people of color truly mean, whether they understand the dialectical tricks devised by those inciting them or not, is that they want to colonize us. They want to colonize white nations, white spaces, white literature, with a colored or multi-ethnic presence that was never there at any prior time. Efforts to invent or exaggerate, for example, a sub-Saharan presence in Roman Britain are intended to construct a mythical multicultural prior state that decolonization will return us to. But these are malicious fictions, which, if unchecked, will end in the utter extermination of Western civilization and its European ethnic groups.